Greetings, it's so great to be with you another time. It's an honor to be back in the soul place, and I'm here with a word entitled The Mystery of Salem and Sodom. I want to repeat that, The Mystery of Salem and Sodom. Now, first off, let's deal with Salem. The word Salem means peaceful, safe, complete, perfect. Now, we're going to get into the backstory, because when you think about those words right away, I don't know about you, but I think about our Lord, I think about our God. Peaceful, safe, complete, perfect. You know, these describe him to the T. But let's get into Genesis chapter 14, verses 18 to 20. It says, "And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered your enemies into your hand, and he gave him tithe of all." Now, we know that this is the first scriptural account of tithing, and I always like to point out whenever I touch this so that there's no misconception here, the priest of God, Melchizedek, king of Salem, did not ask Abraham for anything. But in turn, because of the blessing that the king of Salem bestowed upon Abraham by way of being God's channel, amen, Abraham in turn gave him tithes of all. There was no request. He didn't give him an envelope and say, "I need you to fill this up." No. Out of the abundance that God had given him, he gave him tithes of that. Now, we have to understand that this is God's MO. This is the way that he designed it. Amen. The scripture declares that it's more blessed to give than to receive. If God doesn't follow his principle, wouldn't we consider him a hypocrite? Look at this. Everything that we have comes from God. He is the initiator. So God initiates the blessing, because if God doesn't bless us, we can't be a blessing, or we're not blessed. We don't give and then we become. God gives and then we become. When God blesses us, we move into this state that I love to call the state of blessedness, because now we're under his wings and we're now in his plan for our lives. So, the king of Salem, God's representative, some scholars believe that this was a theophany. He shows you the sovereignty of God to bless and to curse. But most importantly, in this case, he was giving Abraham God's stamp of approval. And Abraham, out of his love for God, returned an offering. Now, we're talking about two kings now, King of Salem and King of Sodom. So let's look at Sodom. What does Sodom mean? A place notorious for vice or corruption. I want to read that again. A place notorious for vice or corruption. Okay, so we're going to move on to Sodom, and we're right here, still in Genesis 14, verses 21 to 24, and it says this, "And the king of Sodom said unto Abraham, Give me the persons, and take the goods to thyself. And Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, from a thread even to a lace, and that I will not take anything that is yours. You should say lest you should say sorry, I have made Abraham rich, save only that which the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men which went with me, and let them take their portion. Now, it's important for us to take note now that Abraham is now faced with the king of Sodom after coming face to face with the king of Salem. It's amazing that now he has encountered the king of Sodom, and now the king of Sodom now in turn, notice what he tells Abraham, and I think that this is significant. I've looked at this story many times before, but it wasn't until I had this opportunity to teach this that this came to me. Notice what the first thing the king of Sodom says. He says, give me. Oh, I wonder if you're with me today. So in other words, the king of Sodom did not stretch forth his hand to give. He stretched forth his hand to receive. Oh, hallelujah. I wonder if you're still with me. So it's showing you right away, before I even get into the meat of the scripture, the different perspectives of man and God. The average man wants to be a partaker, but they don't want to be a giver. The average man wants to receive, but they don't want to initiate. God is a God of initiation, and he signifies what a true blessing is, because the scripture says now it's more what? Blessed to give than to receive. So the king of Sodom, instead of him opening his hand to be a blessing unto this man of God, he's in turn trying to get Abraham to give unto him. Now, okay, let's go a little further. And it says, so I don't want you to get me wrong. What he was asking for was expected, because the truth was Abraham had just come from the battle and he had some stuff that belonged to the king. I understand that. But I want you to see, when you're grateful, when you're thankful, you show that by way of being the blessing that you are. But the truth was, this was not the position of the king of Sodom. He was coming from the perspective of gimme, gimme, gimme. Watch out for folks. Watch out for people that come from that perspective. They never want to initiate. They never want to stand in the place of a blesser. Because the blesser, listen to me, the true blessed one understands the scripture. And I'm going to keep repeating it because I want you to get it. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Anybody that's always asking, gimme, 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 you have to understand that they are not operating according to what the scripture has outlined. So Abraham says, look here, buddy, I've received my best. Basically, what he's saying to the king of Sodom in this chapter, verse 21 to 24, I've already been blessed by God. So I see you come in here and you're making a demand, but I want you to understand, I don't want anything from you. And of course, I'm paraphrasing. I don't want anything from you, but I want you to be a blessing to the men that went to war with me. Because at the end of the day, I think this principle is so precious. I don't want, this is Abraham saying to the king of Sodom now, I don't want it to be said that you made me rich, that you made Abraham rich. I wonder if somebody would get this today. We cannot be so amped and hyped about getting man's approval that we overlook what God has outlined. He says that he has given us the blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. They already ours. Nobody ought to be after you, behind you, trying to get you to buy or bargain for what's already yours. Ladies and gentlemen, you are already blessed. If you are in Christ Jesus, you are a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Abraham is telling them, buddy, look here, I already got it. I'm already blessed. So I don't want you to get this twisted. I see what you're trying to do. But I believe if the king of Sodom's approach was different, I believe Abraham would have received of him. Because there were others that gave unto Abraham in his time. But this, I want you to see, I don't believe that this is just by accident. This is trying to show us the importance of walking in the blessing that God has allotted. So what's the difference between both kings? What was their disposition? Well, first of all, let's look at the king of Salem. The king of Salem was a heavenly. He's of a heavenly disposition. And the king of Sodom is of an earthly disposition. So this is important to take note, because you understand now Abraham's perspective. Abraham being the one that is basically standing in between both kings. The king of Salem on one side, and the king of Sodom on one side, and Abraham in the middle. And Abraham beholding their dispositions, Abraham was able to adapt the disposition of the king of Salem, because his was heavenly. Because Abraham's eyes or his mind was not on earthly things. Oh, hallelujah. These are the criteria we need to evaluate who we are surrounding ourselves with. Because if they're after earthly things, ladies and gentlemen, the only thing they want to do is get. They only want to be a receiver. They don't want to be a conduit or somebody that God uses to be the blessing they are designed to be. But Abraham understood, this ain't about me. His mind was caught up on heavenly things. He understood that the blessing that he was to be in the earth had nothing to do with his present situation. He understood that his children and his children's children, that nations were going to be blessed. You and I that have accepted Jesus Christ are blessed because of Abraham's stand. I don't want you to miss this. So this king of Sodom, in this earthly disposition, like many, sorry to say, are after carnal things. Things that will fade away. And the scripture tells us, don't store up our treasures on earth where moth and dust doth corrupt, but store it up in heaven where thieves cannot break in and steal. See, Abraham's treasure was where his heart was. His heart was on heavenly things. I wonder if we can get this today. God wants us to be heavenly minded. And there's a saying out there, they say, don't be so heavenly minded that you can't be any earthly good. Listen to me. If you are heavenly minded, you will be earthly good. But what you will find out is a lot of folks are earthly minded, and they miss their call. They miss their election. They miss the opportunity to function as God has designed them to function. So listen to Acts chapter 20, verse 35. It says, I have showed you all things, so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord. Something I've been saying all through this message. How he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Because we've got to understand, one of the things Jesus said when he was approached by Judas, while he was, I think, in Simon Peter's house, or he was in the house sitting down to lunch or whatever, and here comes Mary, and she washes his feet with her tears, and pours that ointment on him, and all that, you know, that ceremonial thing. Judas got up in arms, and he said something that was so true. Yeah. We could have sold that and given that to the poor. But Jesus wanted, because now, before I touch that, Judas felt, okay, now, well, for sure now, the poor is a heavenly thing. If you think about it, when your mindset is on the poor, you are persuaded by heavenly things. I don't want you to miss it. Judas was half right, but he has to understand that in that moment, it was about worship. And wow, this one just hit me. In that moment, it was about worship. So I want to draw an illustration here. There's a lot of people that do stuff for the poor, quote unquote, and it's just an act. It has nothing to do with worship unto God. But in that moment, what Mary was doing was her worship unto God. So in that moment, because Judas, now if you read the scripture, that verse a little further in the Gospels, you find out that Judas' mind was not on the poor. We know what he eventually did. His mind was not on heavenly things. So what am I saying? I'm saying that the act is not good enough. There are many people that are doing the act, but their heart is far from God. And man looks at the outward appearance. Men see you giving to this one, the next one, and all of them. But God sees your intent. Is it worship or is it just a show? And what Jesus was saying is, look here, brother, this is right now, this is worship. I hear you, and of all, I mean, Jesus didn't say this, of course, but this, I believe this is what he was saying. I hear you, but you're not there. Yeah, I hear you saying it, but your heart ain't where you're saying. So we've got to make sure that our acts, excuse me, we've got to make sure that our acts of worship. He said, I have showed you all things. Of that, so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord. How he said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. So what am I really saying here too? Even as I move on to the next verse. When you are living in the state of blessedness, when you are operating from that place, you're not worried about the applause. You're not worried about the congratulations and the way it goes. Because the Word of God tells us that when we do our work, I believe it's Matthew 6. If it's not, I'll stand corrected. But he says, when we do our work so that others can applaud us, and they do applaud us, we have our blessing already. In other words, God is not going to come behind that and sanctify that and bless that, because you were doing it so that people can applaud you. But when we do it as worship unto God, when we operate from the state of blessedness, does the blessed state understands that nothing that man can give me can amount to what God has already done. I wonder if you hear me today. We're back to Sodom and Salem again, because Abraham was trying to tell Sodom the same thing. Look here, buddy, I hear you. I know what you want to do, but guess what? God has already blessed me. Do you think you can compete with that? And we've got to understand that man cannot compete with the blessing of God on our lives. There's nothing that man can give us that can trump what God has already done. Oh, I wonder if you could really grasp that. I said, he's already done it. There's some things you just haven't received yet, that just haven't manifested yet, but God has already allotted it for your life. Now, the last verse that I'm going to touch on, I think it's one of the greatest verses I've seen used for giving. Now, a lot of preachers attach financial or use this as a financial verse, but this is bigger than that. Listen to me. I said this verse is bigger than financial. This verse is universal. This fits every category of giving. Luke 6 verse 38, and says, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you measure withal, it shall be measured to you again. So what is the Word of God saying? What is Jesus saying? What is he saying here? What is the Word of God saying here? He's saying that when we give from the place of blessedness, or when we give, and this can be a general principle, but I believe that those that give from the place of blessedness experience the blessing it is to give from that position. But this is a general principle. Whatever you give, it's going to be measured back to you again. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. The scripture, nowhere around the scripture mentions money, but we use it as a money scripture. But it's bigger than that. If you give hate, hate is going to be measured back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. If you give love and all of its attributes, it's going to be measured to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. If you give advice, if you give counsel, if you give money, whatever you give, it's going to be measured back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. God is going to cause men to give into your bosom in this way. So this is something to consider. This is talking about blessedness. When you understand, can you imagine if everybody adopted this attitude, if everybody decided to live in the state of blessedness, what our world would be like? Because, ladies and gentlemen, it's more blessed to give than to receive. So when we, even as I wrap up, when we look at this mystery of Salem and Sodom, we see two dispositions. One that's heavenly, one that's earthly. Now we've got to make a decision. We've got to be like Abraham in the midst of them, and we've got to decide, which disposition am I going to be of? Am I going to be of the heavenly disposition, or am I going to be of the earthly disposition? Because I tell you now, if you're of heavenly disposition, you're going to mind heavenly things, and the will of God and the kingdom of God is going to manifest in your life. But if you have earthly disposition, you're going to mind corruptible things, and those things will see corruption. So I want to encourage you today. Let's live in the state of blessedness. Blessings on you.